Laughing Without Fear. This is Jaewoo.
This is Iz.
And I am Jonah, Izzy's husband.
Yeah, we're all together at the same place.
In Walla Walla.
Yep, whoop whoop.
We are so excited. And yeah, that's Baby David. Baby David, you love to laugh every time. And we got to start usually with a little thankfulness.
Mm-hmm.
And we are so excited to have our guest here. And so again, not to put you on the spot, but is there anything you're thankful for, Mr. Crawlard?
I am thankful to be here with my family. Izzy and David have been in Walla Walla without me for like 5 days. And so I was missing them a lot. And I drove out from Seattle on Friday after work and was tricked Izzy tricked her into thinking I was going to come on Saturday and then showed up late on Friday.
Aww.
But I had some help from her grandma to make sure that the door wasn't deadbolted. And she was my person on the inside.
Nice.
Literally, yeah. Aww. And yeah, it's been so fun to have you here the last, 24 hours-ish? So, well, I just want to say I'm thankful for you, but I'm also thankful that we get to celebrate this weekend, not just like Mother's Day,
mm-hmm.
but just the fact that it's a time where we get to, you know, reflect on a little bit of parents, but it just makes me think like how exciting it is that it's this time of the year and we get to focus on being together as a family. And I think about like our time, even just as a family on our podcast. So I think I'm just really grateful for, not to tag along with Jonah, but just family in general. And like obviously our Heavenly Father, but I love that we're here together too.
Yeah, me too. I think I'm thankful for being home and getting to see friends and family also. Like, it was my grandpa's birthday, it's Mother's Day, and like there's another like family friend's birthday, and I get to be here for all of it, and your birthday is coming up. So it's just exciting that I get to be here. And of course, I'm missing my husband. He's back home in the Netherlands, but it's really nice to get to be home. It's been like a year since I've been home, so.
Oh, it's so nice to have you here. Mm-hmm. And shout out to Maritz.
Yep.
Next time we can all four be together.
Yeah. In August.
In August. Ooh, ooh. Well, we just thought and prayed on what we could kind of get together and talk about today and kind of dig deep. And Matthew really just stood out. Matthew's packed.
It's so good.
Packed so much. And we went with Matthew 6.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically 26. Parent joke. When we have both the parents together, you know,
yeah.
on the podcast. Like, who does baby stay? You know, what, our dog, Leon? So our nanny's a sheepdog. Not this time, but.
Well, like Peter Pan.
Yes!
Oh my gosh! Sorry. Is it
dog and Peter Pan?
No, it's just a dog, but it's cute.
So Matthew 6:26. Do you want to read it, Jess?
Yeah, I can read it. So this is out of the New Living Translation, which is the Bible I have in front of me. And the context is like, this is a parable that Jesus is speaking. And I'm going to start actually in 25, if that's okay.
Yeah, perfect.
So it says, this is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your Heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you more valuable to Him than they are?
Wonderful. I just love birds. And not to be silly here, but we have also our guest is the birdmaster.
You're a birdmaster?
Yes, he is. He might just, you know, do a little half smile right now, like he's like, I'm not really the birdmaster, but
what?
I've not met anyone with such knowledge of these beautiful creatures.
Really?
These dinosaurs, really, I should say. As the birdmaster would say.
Like a chicken? Isn't the chicken a dinosaur?
Birdmaster?
So I was also a big dinosaur guy when I was a kid.
Oh.
And firmly
against. So you're the Dino Master.
I am a Dino Master as well. But I am firmly against feathered dinosaurs.
Oh, really? Interesting. Yeah. Because I know that's a prevailing theory right now.
Not into it.
Okay. You were saying scales all the way.
It destroys my childhood. I grew up believing in scaled dinosaurs.
Okay.
And I'm sticking with it until you find actual evidence.
Hey, gators have scales, right?
Exactly.
Iguanas.
Yep. There's animals out there.
Fish. Just... Okay, but sticking back to the birds.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Back to Finn. Birdmaster over here. Yes, all I wanted to say is that obviously the first thing that comes to mind is flying free, you know, a bird. I just see the freedom in a bird and how it can just take off and be just on its own and believe that the next thing is around the corner just because it's there. It's so simple-minded. Like, I can't think of a more almost simple creature. Just like, I'm just going to fly around, you know? I'm just going to do this. So present. So in the now.
Right.
And I think it's so cool that Jesus is almost kind of giving us that picture to be like these birds a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I think it's very counterculture, actually, because it talks about, like, they don't store up food in barns. And I'm like, that is, like, such a prevailing thing in culture now. Like, you know, make sure, like, store your wealth. Like, even, like, generational wealth is a huge thing. And it's, like, all about, like, getting as much as you possibly can. And it's very different to think about the fact that, like, oh, actually, we shouldn't be storing that up. We should just be trusting that God's going to provide for us.
Absolutely.
So, I don't know. It's very different than what you would hear, like, most people talk about.
Well, I used to be a really heavy packer, and I think about how I pack all the time, and I just want to pack for everything all the time, and this, and I it's almost like it kind of goes a little bit hand-in-hand for me with anxiety.
Oh.
Because I'm thinking worst case.
What if I need
scenario.
This? Yeah. I get that.
But, you know, it is really... really cool to see that God kind of takes that weight off of us. Like, he's like, let me carry that for you. And let's focus on the now. And you're so right. I think it's such a common thing when people are like, so what are you doing next? You know, like, what are you going to do, like, tomorrow?
Worrying about the future.
Yeah. But it's so just common to sit down and have these conversations.
Yeah. Well, I think also, like, it's very common for people to think about and worry about the future. I mean, I know I did for a long time. I used to think about and worry about, like, what is my future going to look like? What am I going to do? What am I going to be? Where am I going to be at? You know, who am I going to marry? How many kids am I going to have?
Yeah.
You know, all that stuff. Like, that's something that, like, I used to think about all the time.
All the time. Like, when we were living together, that was one of the things I remember. Yeah. Like, you know, which is great. And I think it's awesome to have ideas and what God can give you.
Totally.
You know, plans of the future.
Right.
But I love that God can also just anchor us down and be like, hey, like, be here and don't worry almost about, like, be simple. Like, simple is not, like, flashy and fun anymore. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I think we all want to be, like, these minimalists.
Yeah.
But then it's like, go ahead, Jonah.
Izzy, for years, was trying to convince me to embrace van life.
Okay, honestly, though, I'm on board with that. I would totally live in a van, or I would live in a sailboat.
Or a tiny home? What
yes,
about a tiny
I
home?
Would totally do. Mauritz is not into it either. He's like, no, absolutely not.
No way, no how.
Jonah's like, let me store up the barn.
Yeah.
No. Didn't Joseph build multiple cities for storehouses?
Oh, okay.
No.
That's
God told him specifically to do that.
Yeah, it was for a famine.
Yes.
But yeah, I think it is true. Like, I like, it's funny now because I've gone through such a process with the Lord, especially about the future, and, like, also, like, with money. Like, I used to be so worried. Because, I mean, to be honest, like growing up, my mom was like the only income in our household, and so we definitely were, you know, balling on a budget most of the time. And so I feel like for me, like I grew up with that like concern about like money and where it's coming from. Mm-hmm. So I had definitely had quite a long time a worry about that. And especially when I started going into missions where you don't have like a steady income, I was like, okay, God, I don't know what's going to happen or how you're going to provide for it, but I have to trust you. And so I went through this process of like really relying on the Lord for everything and not being worried about where everything was coming from and when. And now it's like the Lord will speak to me about the future, but it's like way off in a way where he knows that I can't do it on my own. Mm-hmm. And so like... it's definitely like he wants me to rely on him. It's not about what I can do. It's about what he can do.
Right. It's almost like this verse. I'm thinking of like Hebrews 13:5, where mm-hmm. it says like, your conduct must be free from love of money.
Yeah.
And you must be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you and I will never abandon mm-hmm. you. And such time and time again. I mean, not to like go back to old times and say like, oh, God has brought me through this, but like that's God's character to
yeah,
be
for sure.
consistent and to, you know, to trust him with the things that the world kind of concerns about. And I
right.
think like going back to the, you know, picture of a bird, it's those aren't really the things that, you know, I think about most people would concern themselves. I just can't think of like a bird concerning itself with like money and these things.
Right.
And God is like, I'm not going to leave you. Like I dress the lilies. Like I dress, you know, I'm going to take care of this bird.
Right.
And
right.
I'm going to feed everything. And I think that's like the confidence that I constantly need as a mom.
Yeah.
Like just being like 100.
Mm-hmm.
It's that reliance that I'm like, oh yeah, but like God has brought me time and time again,
right.
like money and like
yeah.
school. Like for me, education was like such a big fear. Like you know, like if
yeah.
I can't, kind of like what you're saying, a similar situation with, you know, being an immigrant
mm-hmm.
and coming to this country and then
right.
having to struggle through,
right,
and seeing like, oh God, like you have provided.
Yeah,
it's taking a lot to, you know, trust in you with this.
Yeah.
And I've seen it with my grandma, her prayers.
Mm.
And, but then also, like, that anxiety of, like, are we really going to come through for, like, this, you know, this year? Are
mm-hmm.
we really going to be
right.
living in this home? Are we going to actually have to move?
Right.
And then seeing God through, like, oh, yeah, you know. And his faithfulness. And I knew it was, like, my grandma's prayers. Like, I
yeah.
have no doubt to this day.
Right.
That I am not living a different lifestyle because of my grandma's prayers, but God's faithfulness, like
yeah.
caring about the things that he, you know, that are heavenly.
Right.
So
right.
it is really cool how God can give us these pictures.
Yeah. For
when
sure.
You were talking about the Hebrews 13:5.
Yeah.
That's very similar to the verse that comes right before what we just read.
Mm.
And this is out of the NASB. No one can serve two masters.
Mm.
For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth.
Mm.
And I think it's powerful to say that if you are loving wealth, you're going to hate God.
Ooh.
Because
wow.
then if you don't, you'll hate God if you don't get what you want in your wealth, because that's
mm.
what you're going to care about. And so then verse 25 in Matthew 6 starts with, for this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life and or what you'll eat or what you'll drink. So I think it comes back also to that we need to love God, and that is a priority.
Yeah.
And if we are too focused on the material, then when we don't get the material, then we will hate God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when I was, you know, Izzy prayed on this Bible verse, and it kind of came to her before this morning when we were thinking
mm-hmm.
about doing the podcast today. We hadn't really prepped for the podcast. I didn't know.
Yeah, we did.
I didn't know.
Being real, being real.
Out about this
so did we.
But so I was thinking about.
Yeah.
Ha ha ha. That David loves to laugh. You like to laugh with him. But as I've been reading, I guess, a lot of Exodus and Deuteronomy recently.
Mm, okay.
And
going old school.
About the manna.
Oh!
And
yes. snap.
And well, because I went, so I had been reading, so starting at, you know, just kind of like Easter time and the time of the Jewish Passover, I went to a Passover Seder and read for the people who are at the Seder, like Exodus, I think those chapters like 1 through 14, or maybe it's 15, starting, you know, with the beginning of Exodus and ending at Miriam's song after they crossed the Red Sea.
Right.
And so I was like, all right, so I'm really, I was like, I might as well keep reading some more Exodus because it's cool stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And reading about the manna in chapter 16, it's so interesting. It's like, you only get one day's worth.
Right.
You take more than one day's worth. It's just going to rot. No matter how much you pick,
beautiful.
It's going to fill up the two quarts.
Yeah.
If you pick more, it's going to go down to that size. If you don't pick enough, it'll fill up that size.
Mm-hmm. Except for on the Sabbath.
You get double.
Yeah.
Well, the day before the Sabbath, you get double, and then it doesn't show up on the Sabbath.
Right.
And then I was reading in Matthew, I think it was chapter 4, when Jesus is being tempted by the devil.
Yeah.
And when he, you know, says, you know, it is written that man should not live on
bread
alone.
Right.
On every word from God.
Yeah.
So that is a quote then from like Deuteronomy 8:3.
Yeah.
And it's talking about how right before that it says that the people were hungry in the desert because they were hungry for 3 days before they got the manna.
Mm-hmm.
They were hungry and then God gave them the manna so that they'd be humbled.
Wow.
And I have to go back. I don't have the Deuteronomy right now, but it linked back the manna from heaven to Jesus saying you don't live just on the bread alone, because in Deuteronomy it says, you shall remember all the ways which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years in order to humble you, putting you to the test to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you go hungry and fed you with the manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, in order to make you understand that man shall not live on bread alone.
Wow.
But man shall live on everything that comes out of the mouth of the Lord.
Whoa.
So that's kind of the reference point of that famous quote we always think about.
Right.
For Jesus, you know, quoting scripture back to Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this, you know, connection with God providing.
Yeah.
And the most important thing is, you know, God providing the relationship with himself and the word from God is what we need to live off of.
Hmm.
How beautiful.
You know, that also actually back, that reminds me, and also you said it when you were just reading that too, it's about the heart posture, because that also reminds me of the young rich ruler, that which is, I don't know if people remember that from, this is from Luke 18, and it's a young man who came to Jesus and basically said, like, what shall I do, teacher, to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, like, why do you, like, he was basically, like, challenging him, right? And he's like, do not commit adultery, don't murder, don't steal, don't give false testimony, honor your father and mother. And he's like, I've done all those things since I was young, like, been there, done that. And then Jesus said, like, and he saw right to his heart, and he said to him, one thing you still lack. Sell all that you possess and distribute the money to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and then come and follow me. And then it just says, he heard these things and he was sad, for he was extremely wealthy. Mm. And it's not about the fact that he had wealth. It was the fact that the wealth meant more and he didn't want to part with it.
Absolutely.
So it was really about his heart posture.
Yeah.
Cuz I've known people who were rich, but it wasn't like the wealth was more important. Like they freely gave, and the Lord provided for them cuz they had a heart posture to give.
Like Job.
Yeah, like Job. Exactly. So it's not about like whether or not we have wealth. It's not about whether or not we, you know, store up, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
It's more about our heart and whether or not we still trust God to provide for us, and we know that God is our provision and not in our own strength. And that we have a heart to give like Jesus does.
Yeah, and I think it's so beautiful that God calls us to be in his image. And that's kind of the ideal And this is kind of what God is a giver.
Like, yeah.
We're intended to live freely.
Right.
And live without thinking that we're going to run out. Like, we serve the King of Kings.
Exactly.
And, you know, he's not going to run out. But it's sometimes in our day to day, it does feel like inundation of other things and all the noise feels
right.
Like, oh no, yeah, it's easy to kind of clench up.
Yeah.
But it's
to hold on to what you have.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But there is, I don't remember the reference, but there is that scripture that says, you know, like freely give for freely you have received. Mm-hmm. It's like because of all that we've received, we should be giving out because God will continue to provide, especially if our hands are open to give to others.
Yeah.
But it really has to do with your heart.
Oh, I didn't realize this was going to be such knowledge.
Ooh, you know, okay.
Right now, I'm getting totally fed right
Ooh,
now.
Ooh, okay.
Ooh. Chills. Storing up in no parts. Yes. My wings are spreading.
Yeah. How do we store our treasure in heaven?
Ooh, how do
That's my question.
You know, I think the number one thing is to not worry about it. Like, it's not meant to be this thing where we're like working for it. Like, oh yeah, I need to do this so I have a treasure in heaven. Like, we just trust that the Lord's going to take care of us. And so it's saying, like, don't worry about what you have here because it's what up there that matters. And we don't know. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't tell you specifically if you do this and this and this, you'll get a treasure in heaven.
Yeah.
So it's not about, like, works necessarily, you know? I mean, that's my thought on that.
What do you think treasure in heaven is?
I truly believe that God, it's not a storing up, like, what we think here, you know?
Yeah,
there is
right.
I forget which translation it is, but I believe it's the Message, and I'm just I don't remember. Like, I usually can remember scripture, like, on this one, but because
sure,
it's
sure,
the Message.
Sure.
No, because, because it's the Message. My son's laughing at me, too. But usually, the Message is a little trickier, I think, with
right.
the wording.
Because it's paraphrasing, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. And so I think it's like, you can bank on this, you know? And I just remember I think it was like a solo remix devotional, if you know, if there's any The Message, you know, aficionados that follow this one version of the Bible. But forget which one it is, but it's like, you can
Malachi
bank on it. No.
3? Put me to the test?
Well, that too, but anyway, we'll have to look it up. I guess I could ask, like, Google right now, but I don't have my phone. David has my phone. But anyway, all that to say is I do think that God gives us the opportunity to kind of, in a heavenly way, not, like, store up again, like, what we think, but store up trust, store up by obedience. But, like, the obedience is such an interesting word in like, Christianity. Like, I feel like people are afraid of the word obedience because we live in such a grace, which is awesome,
yes.
You know? Like, I think it's
yeah.
good to, like, be aware to how do we use our words. Yet, I do think obedience, multiple times in the Bible, is talked about. And God loves when we are obedient.
Oh, absolutely.
Him. And God does not just, like, provide when we're obedient, but I think it's the trust part. Like,
mm-hmm.
he can see that we're able to trust him. So it's more of a relationship. And
yes,
I believe that's how
exactly.
we store up, you know, heavenly treasures.
Yeah.
It's not about, it's again going, it's that trust, that heart
yeah.
posture.
Yeah.
And it's not about work. So
right,
it's,
exactly.
It's a
yeah.
different way to, like, think about it almost.
Yeah.
But I feel like you have a specific thought or something.
I actually didn't want to ask the question. But now I do.
Okay, let's hear it.
Not as an exclusive answer.
Sure.
To the question, but just as another
a
answer
thought.
To
sure.
complement the answers
mm-hmm.
from you guys. But I think that when we do things that are good
mm-hmm.
and we, you know, choose good over evil and we build people up or do selfless acts or
mm-hmm.
Acts for God, you know, out of pure motive. Not
so, like, following God's will and obeying God.
Yeah, I think that when we're in heaven, we're going to look back and be, like, happy that we did those things.
Sure.
Like, you look back at your life and the things that you did, and not in a negative way, but I think that we'll be proud that we did those things in life.
Yeah. Well,
or that we invested in people.
Yeah.
Or that we helped, you know, spread the gospel.
Right.
Just stuff like that. I think that, or that we will look back at a time when we relied on God in a situation of doubt. And because even now, I think we can look back at moments in our lives when you're like, I really relied on God then, and I'm proud that I did that.
Yeah.
Not in a bad pride way. Not in a self-exalting
Absolutely.
Pride way. But in a, just the, like, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
And I think that we'll always have those treasures. And, you know, while Jesus has covered our sins, you know, it's still nice to just to have those things that we can be happy about.
Yeah, see those moments of obedience and see those moments where we chose the right thing to do. Yeah. I think also, just to tag along with that, another idea, like, because you're talking about, like, when, like, things that we've done or, like, choices we've made, and to, like, see how those are, those choices affected, you know, different people. But I think also, like, yeah, like, you never know what your obedience, what's on the other side of your obedience. So you don't, you never know if, like, you chose to do this because God told you to, and somebody got saved from it, or, like, a whole, you know, like, and then that person got 5 million people saved. You, like, and, like, I think that when we get to heaven, we're going to get to know all those things.
Yeah.
We're going to get to see the fruits of our actions, and we're going to see the fruits of our choices. And so having that, like, that could be also the treasure too, like, getting to really understand the fruits of what we, our labor, I guess, in that way.
Yeah.
And sorry, not to come back to us, but to come back to Luke 12:33-34. This is the bank on it verse. I did Google it. Be generous, give to the poor. I didn't even realize this had to do with, like, money. I thought it was like another bank's. Anyway, get yourself a bank that can't go bankrupt, a bank in heaven far from bank robbers, safe from embezzlers.
Whoa.
A bank you can bank on. Isn't it obvious? Isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being.
Yeah, see, that's exactly what we were just talking about. Like, you're giving to the poor, you have no idea what fruit's gonna come from that. So it's like, and someday we'll get to know all of that. And I think it's so cool.
Yeah, well, what a way to wrap up.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you guys, this is...
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to do, like, a little challenge.
Yes.
So for the next couple of weeks, I want you to think of a time in your life where you chose to be obedient to the Lord, or you even, like, had a struggle moment and you the Lord really came through and, like, was faithful and provided for you. And I think also, like, maybe taking a step back and just seeing how faithful the Lord has been in your life and reflect on God's faithfulness and his provision. And I think it goes back to, like, talking about not fearing the future. And then you talk about, not, you know, laughing without fear of the future. It's like our whole entire thing, because it's easy sometimes when you're day to day not to see the big picture on that, but sometimes you really need to take a step back and see that big picture and see how God has provided and he's been faithful in your life, and it helps you not to be afraid of what's to come. So do that in your own life, and I think you'll see that God is faithful, and he always has been.
That's
always
right.
Will be.
That's right.
Well, thanks so much, Jonah, for joining us. So glad you got to come on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Birdmaster.
Yes, Birdmaster. And we will catch you in 2 weeks. Love you guys. Bye.